This message is presented to you by Pastor James Moore and New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
Good morning. Isn't this a great time of year? Don't you just love the month of May? Trees and plants are budding. Everything's green. There's new life all around. All kinds of celebrations during May. I mean, May 1st is May Day, where celebrations happen to honor the spring season in the Northern Hemisphere. And some traditions include dancing around the maypole and indulging in treats, showering loved ones with gifts. May 4th used to be Bird Day, but in recent years, Star Wars hijacked it. It's now become May the 4th Be With You Day. May 5th, of course, is Cinco de Mayo, which commemorates the Mexican victory over the French in 1862. And believe it or not, May 6th is International No Diet Day, the perfect time to indulge in some of your favorite foods. Sorry if you missed it, but mark your calendar for next year. The month of May also has Stay Up All Night Night, National Eat What You Want Day, and National No Dirty Dishes Day. In fact, every day of the month has a special designation. Pretty humorous. And hopefully, it makes you smile. Smiling is good, don't you think? I mean, the Library of Life, Love, and Laughter at Ball Memorial Hospital in Muncie, Indiana, they have actually compiled some fascinating statistics on smiling. For instance, did you know studies have pinpointed 18 different kinds of smiles? The most common and recognizable is the smile of enjoyment. Did you know that 13 muscles are used for smiling, but 50 muscles are required for frowning? So, do you want to preserve your face value? Smile. Laughter lowers the levels of cortisol in the body. Cortisol suppresses the immune system, so lowering these levels enhances the work of the immune system, may help prevent disease. Did you know that you can stimulate your heart and lungs and elevate your blood pressure and temporarily improve breathing capacity by laughing? In terms of exercise, I mean, you can get the same benefits from laughing 100 times a day as you can from 10 minutes worth of rowing. Hey, why sweat when you can laugh? And did you know that studies in biofeedback confirm that your facial expression can actually influence your moods? See, we smile so that we may feel good, not just because we already feel good. So, do you want to feel better? Smile. And finally, it's estimated that laughing for 15 seconds adds 2 days to your lifespan. Wow, that's pretty impressive statistics, wouldn't you say? As it turns out, laughter is helpful to your total well-being and is one of the most impressive gifts you can give to yourself. Anyway, today is Mother's Day. So I thought I would begin with a list that someone has called Murphy's Laws of Parenting. So I'll read, everyone smile, and you moms see if you can identify with these. Number one, the later you stay up, the earlier your child will wake up the next morning. Number two, the gooier the food, the more likely it's going to end up on the carpet. Number three, the longer it takes you to make a meal, the less your child will like it. Number four, a sure way to get something done is tell a child not to do it. Number five, for a child to become clean, something else must become dirty. Number six, toys multiply to fill any space available. Number seven, it seems like yours is the only child who doesn't behave. Number eight, if the shoe fits, It's expensive. And number 9, backing the car out of the driveway almost always causes your child to have to go to the bathroom. So, do any of these strike home? Listen, it isn't easy being a mom. And what we don't want to do on this Mother's Day 2021 is take our moms for granted. Perhaps the best example of this is the Mother's Day card that reads, "Forget the housework. Mom, it's your day." And then inside it says, "Besides, you can always do double duty and catch up on Monday." I suspect some of you moms can relate to that. Anyway, since this is Mother's Day, I want to draw your attention to 1 Peter 1, verse 22, in the Bible, where we read these words: "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart." What a perfect verse for a day when we honor our moms. Love one another deeply from the heart. Aren't you thankful for the mom who raised you? And although I'm sure it wasn't easy raising me and others from my generation, we need to accept that being a mom or a dad in today's world is more challenging than ever before. You may remember an old television commercial for a pest control company, and it showed two happy families, one on the right side of the split screen, the other on the left. And on each side, the camera showed the family sitting on a comfortable sofa. It also showed the flooring and the foundations of the house underneath them. And the voice described the family on the left, whose house has a solid, strong foundation. No problems there. Then the announcer turned to the family on the right. He lowered his voice just a little bit, and he spoke with urgency as he explained that termites were busily munching away on the foundation of the house of this cheerful, unsuspecting family. Little do they know that a disaster is about to happen. Yes, you and I have been reminded time and time again within recent years that the American family is under attack. I saw an article saying that when people who are now 60 and over, when they were young, an average household often included both parents, one set of grandparents, besides the children. For those 40 and over, the household they grew up in probably consisted of mom and dad plus the children. Today's family, however, is more likely to consist of mom or dad and the children. And maybe the most dramatic change in our society has been the advent of the single parent home. Well, there's no way our culture can shift like this and it not result in major consequences. Some of you may remember a well-known troop of tightrope walkers called the Flying Walendas. Well, the Walendas, they were performing their famous incredible human pyramid at Cabo Hall in Detroit when tragedy struck. The human pyramid consisted of 4 men walking across the high wire, supporting 2 more men standing on poles that were mounted to the walkers' shoulders. And above these 2 men was a woman seated in a chair. I mean, what an act. Anyway, that night in Detroit, as the pyramid inched its way across the wire, Dieter Walenda's knees began to quiver, and he yelled out, "I can't hold on any longer." And suddenly, the entire pyramid collapsed. Most of the family members were thrown to the floor and suffered serious permanent injuries. A few of them hung on the high wire until they were rescued. Now, amazingly, no one was killed, but it was an absolutely horrifying experience for both the performers and the audience. See, I believe many single parents can sympathize with Dieter Wallinda, because they too feel as if the entire weight of their family is resting on their shoulders. And many times it is. So as we celebrate Mother's Day 2021, we are conscious of the changing nature of the family. And as we all know, Mother's Day is certainly one of the most emotionally charged days of the year, and for a whole multitude of reasons. I mean, for many of us, probably even most of us, our mother was the most influential force in our lives, often in ways that we're not even aware of. Many women today feel badly because they have to work full-time in order to raise a family. And this sometimes produces guilt and stress and sometimes even resentment because they don't have more time to devote to raising the kids. And then there are couples who sincerely want to be parents but are not able. And Mother's Day can be especially painful for them. So what I'm saying is this. Each of us brings a special set of circumstances, emotions, and needs with us today. But I think we can all agree that the future of the family is important to individuals and to our society. Now, our scripture today is important, not only for what it says about Christ, but also as a foundation for our understanding of what it means to be a family. Our lesson describes Christ as the Good Shepherd. You may remember last week I mentioned that Jesus often spoke in the imagery of his time. And people were familiar with sheep, and they were familiar with the role of the shepherd. I imagine Jesus would probably choose another metaphor if he were speaking directly to us today. It's interesting, though, how much the role of the Good Shepherd does resemble the role of the Good Parent. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Now notice, first of all, that the role of the Good Shepherd is sacrificial. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Did any of you grow up with a mother who modeled sacrificial love? I certainly did, and I know many of you did too. There aren't many mothers who don't put the needs of their family first. And many fathers do as well. Just last month, former Chiefs quarterback Alex Smith announced his retirement from football. And in an interview, he said that the final decision was made as he was snowboarding with his sons and his father. He said he realized that time with family meant more than continuing his career. And listening to his story, it reminded me of another great athlete, basketball player Danny Ainge. He shocked the basketball world in 1999. See, he was the coach of the Phoenix Suns, and right in the middle of the season, Ainge resigned so he could spend more time with his family. And he was quoted as saying, "Anybody can coach basketball, but my wife only has one husband, and my children only have one dad." Well, most of us don't have the luxury of resigning our jobs to devote ourselves to parenting, but many fathers, as well as mothers, do put their families first ahead of their own needs. And still, it's difficult not to associate sacrificial love with motherhood. It has become, I know, politically incorrect to speak of a maternal instinct, but it's hard to ignore its existence. My Uncle Charlie, he used to say, "All mothers are crazy." And he was referring, of course, to the extremes a mother will go to for her child. As one humorist said, If a woman has to choose between catching a fly ball and saving the infant's life, she'll choose to save the infant's life and doesn't even consider that there may be runners on base. Yes, Scripture says that the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Let's just pause for a moment and focus on the seeming absurdity of this statement. A shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. As you're probably aware, sheep are among the stupidest creatures God ever made. And to think that a human being would lay down his or her life for a sheep is absurd. But that is precisely what the good shepherd does. He protects the sheep at all costs. Why? Because that's his duty. And when we bring a child into this world, we have a duty to that child, a duty to be there for that child, regardless of what that may mean in terms of our own happiness. The love of the good parent, like the love of the good shepherd, is sacrificial. The day you became a parent, you assumed the awesome duty of loving and protecting and nurturing your child into adulthood. So I'll say it again. The role of the good shepherd and the good parent is, first of all, sacrificial. And secondly, the love of the good shepherd is individual. I am the good shepherd, said Jesus. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Now, for those of you who are basketball fans, let me put it this way. The good parent plays man-to-man, not zone. One of the magnificent teachings of the Bible is that God knows and cherishes each of us as individuals. When God looks at us, God doesn't just see a blob of humanity. God sees Bob and Diane and Jan and LaVon. I mean, God sees us and loves us as individuals. I read recently about a young couple who had a son named Creed. And when Creed was 4, this man and his wife set aside one night each week, especially for their son. See, with good behavior, Creed could earn the privilege of doing anything he wanted, you know, within reason, on that night. Well, one evening, that meant spending an entire hour at the pet department of a discount store watching the fish in the tanks. It was simple. It was inexpensive, but it communicated to Creed that he was of immeasurable value to his family. Yes, the love of the good parent is individual. It reminds me of the story of Susanna Wesley. I mean, I think many of you know that story. Susanna Wesley gave birth to 19 children, 10 of whom grew to adulthood. Now, that wasn't a goof. I didn't say it wrong. She gave birth to 19 children, 10 of whom grew to adulthood. Susanna homeschooled her children during their elementary years, and the boys in the family were so well prepared by their mother's instruction that they were able to go to Oxford University at the age of 16. With only 1 year of preparatory school. John Wesley became the founder of the Methodist Church. Charles Wesley, the celebrated hymn writer, composed over 5,000 hymns. Samuel Wesley, another of her sons, was a scholarly priest in the Church of England. And one daughter, Martha, she was a member of the inner circle of the famous dictionary writer, Dr. Samuel Johnson. In a letter written by Susanna, the mother, to her son John, she said of her relationship with the children, she said, I take as much time as I can spare every night to talk with each child apart. On Monday, I talk with Molly. On Tuesday, with Hetty. Wednesday, with Nancy. Thursday, with Jackie. Friday, with Patty. Saturday, with Charles. And Emily and Susie together on Sunday. Each child had his or her own day. Once, when her famous son John struggled with a difficult situation, he wrote to his mother and he said, "Oh, Mom, what I'd give for a Thursday evening." Sure, it takes time to go one-on-one with children, but I can make you a promise. A child who gets that kind of personal attention will turn out to be a credit to his or her family. The love of the good shepherd and the good parent is sacrificial and it is individual. And the love of the good parent is also unconditional. When Christ laid down his life, it was to say to us that God's love has no limits. In the language of insurance policies, it means no pre-existing condition could cause us to be turned down. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. See, religious people have a tendency to put conditions on God's love. They say things like, "Well, if you're righteous enough, God will love you." But the Apostle Paul writes and says, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So, do you get it? There are no conditions. None. God loves you. God accepts you. It's called anyhow love. No matter what you do, He loves you anyhow. You are loved. And this is where so many parents miss the mark. They don't know how to express unconditional love because they were never loved that way themselves. For many of us, there was always an if connected to the love we received. If you make mommy or daddy proud, then we will love you. If you make good grades in school, then mommy and daddy will love you. If you accept our values, then mommy and daddy will love you. Always an if. One reason, you see, the cross is the most precious symbol in the world is because it represents what everyone in this world desperately needs. Unconditional love. Dr. Joyce Brothers once said that children need to be loved without qualification so the seed of self-esteem can grow. She said, "Such unconditional love does not mean you set no limits. Setting boundaries demonstrates to a child how important he or she is to you. And when a child oversteps, show disappointment with the behavior, not with the child." Now that's a fine line, but a hugely important one. We must remember to show disappointment with the behavior, not with the child. In other words, rather than saying, "Tommy, you're a bad boy," no, it's better to say, "Tommy, you did a bad thing." Keep in mind, our children are still our children, whether they live up to our expectations or not. And we love them, even when they disappoint us. We love them even though they haven't become all we want them to be. There's a simple poem on the internet that speaks of unconditional love in a beautiful way. It goes like this. A weary mother returned from the store, lugging groceries through the kitchen door. Awaiting her arrival was her 8-year-old son, eager to relate what his younger brother had done. While I was out playing and Dad was on a call, TJ took his crayons and he wrote on the wall. And it's on the new paper that you just hung in the den. I told him you'd be mad at having to do it again. The mom let out a moan and furrowed her brow. Where is your little brother right now? She emptied her arms and with a purposeful stride, she marched to his closet where he'd gone to hide. She called his full name as she entered his room. He trembled with fear. He knew that meant doom. For the next 10 minutes, she ranted and raved about the expensive wallpaper and how she had saved. Lamenting all the work it would take to repair, she condemned his actions and total lack of care. And the more she scolded, the madder she got, then stomped from his room, totally distraught. She headed for the den to confirm her fears, but when she saw the wall, her eyes flooded with tears. The message she read pierced her soul with a dart. It said, "I love Mommy," surrounded by a heart. Well, the wallpaper remained just as she found it, with an empty picture frame hung to surround it. A reminder to her, and indeed to all, take time to read the handwriting on the wall. Well, the handwriting on the wall for us today comes from Jesus' description of the Good Shepherd. It says that a good parent's love is sacrificial. A good parent's love is individual. And a good parent's love is unconditional. In other words, a parent's love for his or her child, it's only a pale reflection of God's love for us. See, for God, in Christ, laid down his life, not only for the world, but he did it for us individually. There are no strings attached. God's love for us is sacrificial. It's individual. It's unconditional. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank you for your sacrifice on the cross that provides us with life everlasting. And thank you for the interest and concern you have for us as individuals, and for your unconditional love that accepts us as we are. And so we ask that you help each of us love our children sacrificially, individually, and unconditionally. Help us to see them as you see them, and to love them as you love them, as you love us. Furthermore, on this special day, we also thank you for our mothers. I pray that every mother hearing me today will experience the joy of hearing her children openly express their love and appreciation for her. It's in your wonderful name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.